Over 40 in Vancouver with
Dale McGladry
and Roland Tanglao. We're here at Archive.
Back after a 2 week hiatus.
Roland has received his electrified Schwinn 1957 bicycle, which I will post a picture of.
Awesome.
Yeah, I received it. I hate talking about myself in the third person.
Have you used it?
Yeah, I used it twice. You want to come over at 4 and check it out? Have a beer?
Oh, yeah, it's at work.
Uh-huh.
I might be able to come over at 5 and check it out.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so it is a Schwinn with a EZ, which comes from Grin Technologies, a Vancouver company, motor on the hub, the rear hub. And they retrofitted disc brakes. And there's an there's an on-off switch. And let me see if I can get the salient details. There's an on-off switch. There's a power adjuster in the front where you can say you have access to maximum power or minimum power. And there's a motorcycle-like throttle to control how much 0 to 100% of that maximum power that you just dialed in.
Yep.
So you can go 0 to 4 bars. And then you can get 0 to 100% of 4 bars, like a motorcycle. It's basically like an electric motorcycle. And there's 2 batteries
and how heavy
in the back
batteries?
In motorcycle panniers. So the bike, without the electrification, was, I guesstimating, you could probably find it online what the weight of a 1957 women's Schwinn was. But
okay,
I think the bike was
like
50 pounds.
I had a World War II era bike that I grew up on. Which was perfect because we lived in the country and had gravel roads.
Yeah.
But those were not light frames.
So my guesstimate, and I guess I need to find a scale just for the sake of completeness, or I need to, just for fun, my guesstimate is 70 to 100 pounds now.
Wow.
Well, you can tell me. Are you good at gauging? Okay, so and now it has 8-speed derailleur as well. It was retrofitted and disc brake at the back. And I can actually pedal it. I have extremely strong legs from cross-country skiing. I can actually pedal it. I can't pedal it up Clark Park Hill or probably Southlands Hill or any of the hills in Burnaby or Richmond, but...
So what made you pick that frame?
I love vintage bicycles. I love the look.
Okay.
Pink. It's a pink 1957 Schwinn. And it's super strong. It's built to last. They had a lifetime warranty.
Yeah. Oh,
lifetime
warranty. Those old bikes, like you said, like... I had a World War II vintage era bike that I grew up on before I graduated to like a real proper frame, and
yep.
you could build a ship on those frames, man.
Yeah, so they had lifetime warranty. It wasn't as strong, but what Danu Hubert, my bike guy, Schwinn guy, I should give him a plug, the World Cycles, on Commercial Street close to where I live. What he says is they were A, lifetime warranty, B, built to last, and C, as they were the king, they were the Cadillacs, they were the BMWs, Lexus, Mercedes, whatever, of the time. And this was a major piece of engineering. And as time went on, they got better at manufacturing them, they used lighter steel. So this has slightly lighter steel than your World War II bike that you probably remember, but not much. I mean, you probably wouldn't even notice. But they were tuning their manufacturing and all that stuff. And then, I don't know what happened, but I think the story was that they just became like General Motors. They were the General Motors of their time. They got a little complacent, and then the motorcycle and cars came in, and then the 10-speed and the mountain bike, and they just never recovered.
Well, I think that was, like, my recollection, which is really vague, is... Because I remember Schwinn being advertised, but they were...
I don't remember them being advertised.
They were late to the game.
Yeah, mountain bikes
too
and
much
10-speeds.
Yeah, mountain bikes and 10-speeds. They totally didn't go there.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, the upright posture is perfect for commuting. It's better for your back, which is what these things have. I think it's better, but maybe I'm wrong. You have a solid steel frame, which means you can add electric motors. You can add panniers, and you won't have an issue.
You have already fathered Spawn, but do you have the saddle to help the boys out, or
going
with the classic?
No, he could. If this was Holland, if Simon was younger and I knew what I know now, then I would get a...
No, not the boy, the boys.
Which boys? Oh.
You don't have to worry about reproducing, so it probably doesn't matter.
But the step-through is nice, especially when you have this heavy bicycle. Can you imagine going over the bar with a 100-pound bicycle
on
your legs?
Yeah, that would be awful.
I think it's maybe 75 pounds. You could check it out, but I totally recommend it. I totally recommend electric bicycles. I think electric vehicles of all sorts, I think we discussed this before, tricycles, cars, trucks, bicycles, dual cycles like Batman and Robin. I think we're going to see an explosion of electric and non-gas. It's a lot simpler to make.
Well,
and it's a lot simpler to maintain. And
That brings up a good
point. And mobility
is
the number one issue for people. Like, your life...
I think gas...
As a first world, number one first world problem is mobility.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to self-driving cars for when I can't drive. But, yeah, like, the gas electric, I think there's a lot to recommend it, especially when you start looking at the electric motors and you can have, like, four-wheel independent...
I think this gas electric is an interim phase, to be honest. Like, I'm more power to Toyota for their hybrids. I think they're reducing...
Well, we'll
see. You can argue about the batteries.
Battery technology
But I think they're reducing
still...
the carbon, but... I think Tesla, Apple, from the laptop side, from the cell phone side, and Tesla from the car side.
Well, Tesla, no question.
And Toyota now. Toyota, don't forget Toyota. They're the dark horse here. They're investing a lot in battery technology. And then we have people investing in fusion still. We have people investing in hydrogen fuel cells still. So there's a lot of wild cards, but I think the hegemony of gas and diesel engines is coming to a close.
Which still means it's like 50 years out at least, but yes.
Well, I think for the sake of the people who come afterwards, it's going to have to be less than 50, but you're probably right.
Well, the interesting thing is that, like a lot of technologies, when they're forced to innovate, like when they get that competition, that suddenly it's like, oh, well, you know, we can make the gas cleaner, we can make it more efficient.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of the things with the gas electric, where
yeah.
some of the innovations with we have a constant speed gas motor so we can do all these things to make it way more efficient than...
But it's the simplicity and the weight of the electric powertrain. That's what's...
But people are still motivated by cost.
Right. No, I know. But a car, it's like the people who don't buy smartphones, but everyone else has smartphones. It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when, not if.
And
it has nothing to do with global warming, although it does. It's not substantially driven by global warming. It's driven by the fact that cars are expensive and stupid. And polluting, regardless of where you stand on global warming. So,
I mean, I agree with you, but
it should be an interesting ride.
I think the key thing to watch is it's not altruism that's driving it. It's still financial. But yep. all those factors that you mentioned go into the financial calculation.
Yeah, no, I'll eventually have a self-driving car, I'm sure of that. And you'll eventually have an electric vehicle, whether it's a bicycle, tricycle, car.
I'm sure of it. I mean, yeah. my next vehicle. I'm currently driving a 1995 Honda Civic. It's
I sold my 96 2 years ago, man. It's an awesome car. Like, best car I've ever had.
20 years old. I'm not quite sure. You
best
know,
car you've ever had, right?
It's great. It's like treated me really, really well. But it is getting old, and you know, gas efficiency and all that good stuff. So, but I don't drive it much.
Right. You take the C bus.
I commute on transit, so I drive it occasionally on an evening thing or on the weekend, yeah. And occasionally it makes a trip to like the interior to visit my parents.
What you should do is you should come over and test it out at Clark Park some weekend. Pretty safe there. You don't even need to wear a helmet. Anyways, that's another kettlefish which we will not tackle. We're not going to talk about the H word, the H issue on this show. We're going to talk about Apple Watches. We're going to talk about other silly
things.
It's
the H word.
Buskers. I don't know. More science fiction. Always more science fiction.
Always more science. Great movie coming out this weekend.
Which one?
I think it's called The Sun and the Moon. It's based on a
story
by Vonda McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
It's just opening this weekend. I really enjoyed the book, so I'm hoping they do justice.
The Sun and the
movie.
Moon, science fiction or what?
It's fantasy.
Okay.
In King Louis's court.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Okay, I've heard about this. All right, well, signing off from Over 40 in Vancouver, I'm Roland at Archive by Revolver Coffee.
And this is Dale. I'm of no fixed internet address right now. Or too many fixed internet
addresses.
Come on,
convert to Jekyll. Just like all the other geeks, convert to an unusable system that uses Markdown.
Oh, God.
All right, take care.
And on that note.
Ciao, cheers. Oh, we should talk about that.
We should.
Jekyll. All right, we'll talk about that.